It's a good day to be alive. We just thank God for another day journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Vertical Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Vertical Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Vertical Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans 12, 9 through 21. That is Romans 12, 9 through 21. And it is titled, Love in Action. Here reads the Word of God. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for which it is written. Okay? For it is written. It is mine to revenge. Or avenge. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, doers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. Lord, we thank you for our life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Lord, we ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people, and that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. Lord, bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey, and be blessed by the Lord. We pray. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift up Jesus so that all those who are lost will be found by you, Lord. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings, Lord, and we are so grateful. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Jesus, forever the same. Jesus, omnipotent reign. Let us proclaim that all is forgiven in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, he's forever the same. Jesus, omnipotent reigns. Jesus, let us proclaim. things are possible. Yes, it's possible in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the enemy is scattered.
In Jesus' name,
this oppression must cease.
In Jesus'
name, when two or three have gathered, God is with us. In Jesus' name, call on Him, call on Him for Jesus. He's forever the same.
That is no less than what the Lord himself said to us over in John 14. He said that anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. Amen. Jesus turned around and said, anything you ask me in my name, he'll do it. So you got to read the Bible and see what Jesus said that you could ask for in his name, because it's all in his name. Amen.
Yeah.
And right out of Galatians chapter 5, where the Holy Spirit seeks to produce in us love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. Amen. Whatever we want is in his name. Guess what? When you got problems and you're standing at the Red Sea, you need to mention the name. When you're living in a place where you can't even hardly live, you need to mention the name. When you come up against Sihon and Og, two big old giant armies, and you can't even fight, you need to mention the name. When you come to the Jordan River and you can't even get across because it's that flood state, you need to mention the name. When you come to the walls of Jericho and they're just so big and wide and tall and you can't even get over them, you need to mention the name. There's power when you mention his name.
At the mention
of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, you are Lord.
You are Lord. Cause at the mention of your name,
at the mention of your name, every knee will bow,
every knee,
every tongue confess,
yeah. To bow, and at the mention of your name, every knee, every tongue confess,
you are, Lord.
Yes, you are. Oh, cause Jesus, you are Lord. It's just that easy. Jesus, you are Lord. Yes, you are.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
you sounded so sweet.
And at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are, Lord. So at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are, Lord.
Together, we say Jesus.
Jesus.
Go and invite him in.
Jesus.
He'll meet you at your need.
Amen.
He's Lord over sickness.
That's what Paul and Silas did when they sat in that Philippian jail. That's what everybody did when they came up against this, that, or the other. Even Peter did it when he was walking on water and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. At the mention of his name. Amen. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes in this life, I don't even know what's wrong. I might be crying. I don't even know why. I might be sad. I don't even know why. I might not even be going through anything. Just woke up in a mood, feeling some kind of a way. But, you know, when I get to those places in life, I thank God that he gave us that name. That name that is above every name. That name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess and every problem has to submit to, that name. That name is Jesus. Sometimes I don't know what to say, but I do say the name of Jesus.
Say the name.
of Jesus, say the name of Jesus, say the name so precious. There is no other name I know. Say the name of Jesus, say the name of Jesus, say the name.
Amen. You know, when Jesus used to come around, them demons, you know, they wasn't fooled by that body he was in. Amen. Talking about greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. When they saw Jesus, they said, Jesus, we know who you are. Amen. The Son of the Most High God. They weren't fooled by that body he was in. They did not recognize him. They saw him through that body. They saw that spirit, amen. And so when we use that name, even the seven sons of Sceva who did not know Jesus but tried to use his name, they said in the name of Jesus, and they was doing good up to that point. Then they said the one who Paul preached. Then them demons was like, oh, wait a minute. You know the name, but you can't use the name. See, them demons, they get scared when they hear the name of Jesus. They hate it when you call on Jesus. They hate it when you duck and cover under your head and say, Lord, help me. Y'all remember Pastor Marvin Winans, right? When he rolled up into that gas station that the Lord told him not to go into, and he ended up on the ground. What did he do? He said he called on the name of Jesus, and guess what? They stopped beating him and ran off and left him alive. Amen. There is power in that name. You know, God has given us a name that's greater than any other name. Amen. So we thank him today, Jesus, for your great name.
Hallelujah. When I call your name. Thank you, Pastor. As always, it never fails. You took us there. And we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear and doing triple-double duty is our very own shepherd, the awesome Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall. Pastor O, praise to the Lord. Amen.
Find a way to get through, break through, hear you. Troubles, they last, and as time passed, it's been one thing after the other. And oh, I don't always know the right way. No, I don't always know what to say. But all I know is something happens when I pray. I know I can get through. Way to go, I feel so alone, life is so, so cold. I'm not very eloquent in speech, I don't always know how to sound holy when I speak. Papa told me something happened when I pray.
I don't want you to
trusting us with his power. Amen. You ought to listen to him sometimes on Tuesdays. You come on at 4 o'clock, and even if you can't tune in at 4 o'clock, all these shows are archived and recorded, and you can get them 24/7, 365. And he talks about these things that God have given us, and this is a great power, and prayer is the key to that power. And so we thank God for the opportunity to be able to pray and for all of us to corporately come together. This isn't a prayer about me. This is an altar call. This is a prayer not just about you. It's about all of us under God. Amen. And so we're going to talk to the Lord about some things that's going on in the world, going on with us corporately as a church. You know, your individual prayers are your individual prayers. That's when you bring all that stuff up to God. But when you're in a corporate prayer, amen, when it's more than just you, it ain't about you. Okay, it's about whatever you have collectively come together to pray about. You find evidence of that in Acts chapter 4. It's called the believer's prayer. And when they prayed, they didn't pray about their individual lives. What they prayed about was what they came together corporately for. And what they had come together corporately for is the government, the Sanhedrin in particular, was telling them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. So when they all got together, they didn't pray about their bills. They didn't pray about their sicknesses and all of this stuff that had to do with them. They prayed about what was coming against them and their witnessing for Jesus Christ. They had been told not to witness, so they prayed for more boldness. And the Bible says the room where they were was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean they just got saved. That means God filled them to be able to do what they just asked them to do. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to praise God. We're going to repent of our own sins, and then we're going to ask God, and then we're going to say yes, or we yield to the Lord to get done whatever, to play our part. Amen? So let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today. And we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that our world is in turmoil, but that's the world. Your kingdom, heaven, your government, your kingdom rule, your authority is in perfect shape. Your kingdom is suffering no violence. Your kingdom is suffering no loss, no lack. Your kingdom is as full as it ever was and ever will be. It is this world that is in turmoil, but we are your people. And Father, you have us wherever we live in the land of Goshen. You have kept us even while everybody around us is in turmoil and under pressure. But you have told us to cast our cares on you because you reminded us that it's not the world, but it's you that care for us. And so, Father, we praise you and thank you for that, that we don't have to look to our whacked-out government or any of the governments of the earth to provide for us. Your kingdom will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. We pray to you to provide us like you do these birds and these squirrels and these rabbits and all these little creatures we see running around. They look to you for food. They don't look to the government. They don't look to anybody else other than you for food, because you provide for them. And Jesus, when you was here, you said if that's the way the Father feels about plants and animals, how much more does he care about you? And you also said that you know full well, the Father knows full well that we have need of all these things that we have need of. So we're not anxious at all, and we praise you for that, Father, because of the word you spoke to us that keeps us from being anxious. So we thank you for your goodness and your kindness toward us. We have a saying in the world, Lord. We say that you're good and you're good all the time, and that's true, whether we believe it or not. Sometimes we believe it when things are good, but then we don't when things are bad. But you are still good, even if we're sitting in the Philippian jail. You are still good if we've lost everything, we're laying on the ground like Job, tore up from the floor up. You are still good. You are still good if we're like Stephen, falling under the stones of those who think that they're doing the right thing but doing the wrong thing by stoning him to death, and he prayed for them that you would not punish them for what they were doing. He understood they didn't know what they were doing. We thank you for being that good and giving us evidence of you being good in bad times. Father, we repent. Lord, we repent of our sins. Our world is the way it is. You said in your word, if my people called by my name would repent, would turn from and repent, make a 180-degree turn, my people, not the world. The world is not going to repent. The world is not going to turn from their wicked ways. But you said, if my people do that, then you would heal the land. And when you said that, Father, the people were suffering all kinds of trouble. You said in 2 Corinthians 15 that you troubled them with every kind of trouble. That means, Father, if you're the one that's troubling us, amen, it's because you want us to turn back to you, to repent of our wicked ways and turn back to you and start living the way you want us to live in our personal, our family, our church, and our civic lives. You want us to turn back to being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, because we've gotten overly involved in this world, Lord. We love this stuff, and we forsake you all the time. You told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. We can't even get to church on time. We Father, we have such a lack of respect for you that we come to church late. We have such a lack of respect for you, we don't even go to Sunday school. We don't go to no Bible classes, and we ain't doing no home study. You don't see us all week crack your word open. But we say we love you. We act like we love you. We front like we love you, but we don't. And we show it in our behavior. And you see it. We front in front of people, but you see us when nobody else sees us. And that's when you want to see praise. That's when you want to see worship. That's what you call worshiping you in spirit and in truth. It's easy to fake in front of other people because we're not in front of them that long. But we're in front of you 24/7, 365. So, Father, all that stuff that you see that demonstrates that we don't even love you. We don't respect you. Jesus, that's why you stood in our face when we said, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord. You said, hey, hold up. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say? You fooled these people into believing that you do what I say, but I see you every day, every moment, every second of your life. I even see you in your dreams, and you still don't do what I say. So, Lord, we repent. We 1 John 1:9, we confess, we agree with you that we're wrong and you're right. We've done this and more than that. So we confess our sins and we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for working with us. You said you was working on us over in Philippians 1:6. And Jesus, we are so thankful that even though we need to repent, even though we've not done what you asked us to do, even though we can't even call you Lord, we can call you Savior, but not Lord because we don't do what you tell us to do. But we can repent. We can do like the prodigal son. We can get up, come to our senses, and come home. We can do like the lost sheep. When you find us because we done strayed away, you lovingly pick us up and put us on your shoulders and bring us home. We can be like that lost coin, Lord. We can't even help ourselves. We so lost. We need to be found. You will not stop till you find us. And when you find us, you're going to rejoin us with the other cup, other coins at home. So we repent. And we thank you for your forgiveness for all our sins. And we, Lord, thank you for your cleansing. One day we'll get it right, even if it's the day that when you come and bring us home. Even if it's then, and it will be then, we'll be right. Lord, we have some things to ask you about. Our world is in a turmoil. It's in a mess. You've given the devil permission slips, and he is doing everything you allowed him to do, and everything's happening that you're divinely doing. But, Lord, you told us over in Luke 21, when we see all these things happening, you told us to rejoice because our time to come home to be with you forever, as you said over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so shall you ever be with the Lord. That time is on us. So what we should do, Lord, is what you said in Matthew 24. Who is he that when his master returns finds them doing what their master said? Jesus, we know you're coming back one day. But you're not back yet. And we're still here. And our world is in a turmoil, Jesus. the church today, Lord Jesus, is sanctioning taking away choice from people. As many bad choices that we, Adam and Eve made a horrible choice and plunged the world into what it is today, a sin-natured world. But you didn't take choice from them. Cain decided in himself to kill his brother. You approached him about that. And you had a conversation with him and told him that he should rule over the devil who was waiting for you to leave so Cain could make a choice to choose you and not murder his brother, or choose to bring the offering the way he had been taught. You said to him, Lord, if you do well. In other words, you knew that he could bring you a proper offering. But he decided not to. He decided to kill his brother. You didn't take choice from him. When all the people in Genesis chapter 4 decided not to follow you, no matter how great you made them and all those things they were able to do, they made a choice not to follow you. You didn't kill them. You didn't take choice from them. When the folks in chapter 5 decided to follow you, but then later on in chapter 6, the whole earth except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, you didn't take choice from them because they decided not to follow you. Throughout the entire history of the Old Testament, Israel made a ton of horrible choices. And you didn't take choice from them. You didn't even think about taking choice from them. You still said to them, I set before you life and death. You even told them to choose life, but you left it up to them to choose. And Jesus, when you went to that rich young ruler and he wanted to inherit eternal life and you told him how to get it and he chose to ride off with a sad face, you didn't run after him and say, you've made a bad choice. I'm taking your choice away from you. Lord, the church is being sneaky. They're saying, we're trying to stop abortions. But no, what they're really doing, Lord, is trying to steal choice away from people. They're saying, you won't make the right choice, so we're making the choice for you. But nowhere in your word, no matter how many bad choices we've made and still make, you have never once taken choice from us. Lord, in my own personal life, I made a bunch of horrible choices before I was saved and after. And you still haven't taken choice from me. And yet now the church is portraying itself as having done a great thing by having this Roe v. Wade thing overturned when, Lord, the whole body of Christ is pro-life because you say choose life. But you don't make us choose life. You allow us to choose life. And, Lord, we're down here struggling about tithing. There's a new thing going around, Lord, about tithing. It's not New Testament. It's not something New Testament Christians should do. And they have all tried to mangle up scriptures to prove their point, but they're all wrong. What you said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verses 13 to 14 settles this for the church. Every verse before these and every verse after these all say the same thing, that we have moved from the old right into the new. You never did dismiss the way you provided for your church. In Numbers chapter 18 is where you said that you would give all the tithes of the land that the people brought to the Levites. And then you commanded the Levites to give a tenth of what they got to the priests. And that way everybody in your house was provided for because they didn't have an allotment of land, so you provided for them. You became their portion. And you said in verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 9 that don't you know that the Levites, and that would be those who worked in your house, receive from what's brought to the temple. And the priests, they receive and was shared on the altar what they got from the Levites. Everybody was taken care of. And then, Lord, you said this in verse 14, in the same way that you ran the church financially in the Old Testament is the same way you're going to run it in the New Testament. So tithing and that system never stopped. Tithes and offerings are still brought to you so that your work in this world towards saving souls can be accomplished. But now we got these preachers running around here, these little what we call big shot preachers running around here, Father, and they're saying that's not what you meant. They're saying that There's no such thing as New Testament tithing. And you know, Lord, I was caught up in that same thing. And you know, from 1978 up until the time you had me listen to that old Southern Baptist preacher, Adrian Rogers, I thought and taught the same thing, that there was no such thing as New Testament tithing. But turns out, Father, there is. When I read what Jesus said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in the same way you have commanded that those who preach the gospel should earn their living from the gospel. Nothing changed. And Father, not only are we mixed up in the church about forcing people to choose to raise a child, not only are we mixed up about tithing and how to give to you, we're also, our country is mixed up as to what to do about all these shootings we're having. Lord, in this country, we have had 319 mass shootings in 6 months. No other country on this planet has this problem. And Lord, in this country, we love the gun more than we love anything. And our weak Congress came up with some stupid laws talking about a background check and some other little funny stuff. When the guy who just shot up a parade, kids are scared to go to school. Now they're scared to go to any crowded place. But this boy passed 4 background checks, and when he couldn't, his father signed for him. And then he went up on that building and started shooting people. Just over in Japan, Lord, a man where they don't even have a lot of guns decided to make one out of something and went and shot the former prime minister, the former president of Japan. Oh, the devil's on the loose. And what is the church doing? Lord, we're just praising your name. We're just having hallelujah church times. With church, conference, but we ain't nowhere present in the culture. We ain't making no difference in the cities we live in, because we're stuck up in them church walls hiding from sin. Lord, we need your help. The church is the only hope this world has. You said that we're the salt of the earth. You didn't say the world was or our government was. We are. You said we're the light of the world. You said that we should do our works in front of them and do them in such a way that your name is praised. But all we want to do is have a church party. All we want to do is have a conference. All we want to do is have an afternoon program. All we want to do is have fun. While the world, as old folks say, is going on its way to hell in a handbasket. Jesus, we can go through a whole week, ain't told nobody about you, but we say we love you. We love hamburgers enough to tell somebody about that, a good restaurant or a good movie. But Lord, we don't tell people about you. And we're not even able to teach people who are in, we don't even tell our kids about you no more. We give our kids over to secularism and say, make my child into something. But you told us to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Lord, we are filled up with cheating politicians who will do anything to stay in office. We have an ex-president who's running around saying that his election loss was, the election was stolen from him. And there are those who say they believe in you who believe lies. And you said, Jesus, over in John chapter 8, that the devil is the father of lies. You said that he's been sinning since the beginning, and when he speaks a lie, he's speaking his native language because he is a liar. And we are down here claiming we follow you, but following a liar. Lord Jesus, talk to your body. Talk to your members. They're following lies now. They've gotten so hooked on these political parties that they've made them, they act like you a Democrat. They act like you a Republican. They act like you a dependent. Jesus, you are seated at the right hand of your Father in heaven. You're not seeking to inherit the earth. You own the earth. You made it. And we're down here asking you to bless our political party. our political candidates. Oh, Lord, we need your help. Lord, we're going to finish this prayer by saying yes. We will go out and vote if we want change. Other than that, the devil going to run roughshod over this whole country and destroy democracy. Because he kills, steals, destroys. He hates a democratic society. And he has co-opted one of these political parties, and he's using them to destroy democracy. They even attacked their own capital. Insurrectionists. Like Barabbas. He was an insurrectionist, a criminal, a murderer. And these people are doing the same thing, and they claim to know you, Jesus. They claim you told them to insurrect our own capital. And nobody even wants to hear about it. Nobody's even thinking about it. And Lord Jesus, they're about to run out of water in California and in Arizona. The Colorado River is running out. Lake Mead is in catastrophe. And Lake Powell ain't far behind. And they provide power to that sin city called Las Vegas, and they're about to lose it. And nobody cares. Nobody's even paying attention. But you said when you see all these things, rejoice, because your redemption is near. And Lord, we see all these things, and we're going to rejoice, because that's what you told us to do. You didn't tell us to worry or become overly concerned about it, worried about it, but to rejoice. But yes, Lord, we will do what we have to do. We will, Jesus, repent. We will, Jesus, turn from our wicked ways, and we look forward to you hearing from us. And bring some healing to this land. Even though we know what you told us over there in Matthew chapter 24, you told us, Lord Jesus, that all these things would happen. You told us to don't be afraid and don't be worried when the end is not even yet. Wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes all over the place. Famine, scarcities of this, that, and the other all over the place. Jesus, almost everybody in America is working, but inflation's through the roof. And even though people got money, you said you would cut a hole in their pocket, just like you said over there in Haggai. When your people started clowning on you, you brought home much, but you purchased little. That's what's happening today, Jesus. We have a whole lot, but it don't buy a lot, because everything costs a lot. Help us to see, Lord, that these are the last days. What you said is happening. And so that we respond correctly as the church. And stop praying to you to fix this mess when you the one said it was going to be a mess. We're praying backwards. We're asking, like, make heaven, make earth heaven. But you're not. You said let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not make the earth heaven. This is just only going to get worse, Jesus. So help us to readjust, align our prayers with your will, so that your will is done in us on earth just like it is in heaven. In your name, Lord, this is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Power, power and prayer. Govern yourselves accordingly. We thank you, Pastor, for that powerful prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Power and prayer. All right. That was powerful. Okay. Are you enjoying the service? I am. I'm truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. And as always, if you have been blessed by this service, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? All right. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence to come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Couldn't get no rest and couldn't see no end in sight. I needed God to pull me through, someone to show me what to do. Tired of being blue, yeah, yeah. Circumstances filled my life with such regret. And every time I turned around, trying to get my feet back on the ground, many tears I had to cry. Sometimes it felt like I could die, yeah. Somebody tell me why. Lord, you gave me hope.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for a brand new day. We thank you for a brand new day that you allow us to see. Father, I just ask that you have your way during this sacred time. And that you move me out of the way so that you will be glorified in the sermon that I preach today. Because it's all of you and none of me. Have your way, Lord. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit so that your people can hear from you, through me, and you get all the glory and all the praise. Amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It is a pleasure to be able to come to you with a word from heaven 2 weeks in a row. It is a pleasure and an honor to come to you with the word from the Lord. The word that the Lord gave me 2 months ago is from Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Pastor prayed half of it in his prayer, but it's the word that the Lord gave me 2 months ago. And Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do anything I say?" And then the Lord gave me another scripture to use for this word. And the second scripture he gave me to use is Acts chapter 10, verse 27. And that is quoted like this: "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." I want to talk to you from this subject. Follow the directions of the Lord with a good attitude. Follow the directions of the Lord with a good attitude. You know, as a church, we have been called to advance the kingdom of God. But the part of the problem with the church is we've been doing the work of God with a negative attitude sometimes. And what I mean by that is when God tells us to go out and preach the gospel, we tell him, "Lord, I am not going out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world because I don't like the people in the world. The people that's in the world wouldn't be the people of the world if they were approached by a Christian that had a positive attitude about what they're doing for the Lord. You know, old folk used to say a phrase like this: only what you do for Christ will last. You know, it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do anything I say?" If the Lord is calling some of you to go out into the world and preach the gospel, do it with a happy attitude. See, God is not going to bless us with the things that we want on this earth until we are willing to change our attitude about the work that he has called us to do. We are vessels of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. And the way we carry ourselves when it comes to the work of God will have an effect on how we're blessed in our lives. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." You know, when I was called to be a preacher in 2009, it took me a while to have the desire to preach the Word of God. Before I was called to be a preacher, I did not have the desire to preach the Word of God. But the reason why I didn't have the desire to preach the Word of God like I do now is because I refuse to listen to the Lord. I refuse to do the will of God with a positive attitude. I was constantly thinking about what I was going through. See, it doesn't matter what we go through in this life. John 16:33 says, "In this life, you are going to have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." The reason why so many pastors of so many churches have suffered the way they've suffered is because they didn't do what God called them to do, what he has called them to do, the way that God wanted them to do it. And they didn't trust the plans of God. They went with their own plans. And that's what's wrong with the church today. We refuse to do the work of God with a positive outlook. Church, we are ambassadors for Christ. We were called to advance the kingdom of heaven. But we weren't called to advance the kingdom of heaven with a nasty attitude. We were called to do it to the glory of God. Because the Bible says, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. If some of you were called to be teachers, teach the Bible to the glory of God. If some of you were called to be doctors, be that doctor that you were called to be to the glory of God, so that he will be glorified. If some of you were called to be social services workers, be that social service worker that God has called you to be to the glory of God, so that God will be glorified in all that you do. The reason why so many people haven't seen the miracles of God happen here on earth is because we haven't followed. We have not been following the directions of God with a positive attitude. You know, our attitude has power. And what I mean by that is, if you walk around with a negative attitude about what you are going through, you won't receive the healing that you need. And you won't be able to impact the world in a positive way. But if you walk around with a positive attitude about what you are going through, you will be able to impact the world in a positive way. If you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I am not feeling well, so I don't care what the world is going through because I'm not feeling well. If you wake up in the morning saying that, your circumstance will never get better. But if you wake up in the morning saying, Lord, I'm not feeling well, but I am going out into the world to do the work that you've called me to do with a positive attitude, you will make a positive impact on many lives in the world if you would just change your outlook on what you are going through. You will not only make a positive impact, you will be blessed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. But the only way you will be blessed in what you do is if you do it. If the only way you will be blessed spiritually, emotionally, financially, is if you do the work that God has called you to do with a different attitude. Our faith, our attitude has power. It's time out for the church. It's time for the church to stop having, stop looking at the world with a negative attitude. All these shootings that are going on is a result of us, the church, having a negative attitude about doing the work of God. If we would wake up in the morning and tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm not feeling well, but I want to be a blessing for you in the world," the world would change its view about God. It says in Acts 10:27, it says, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." Saints, I heard a minister say a long time ago, we've been in the church 11 dozen years, but we still don't do what the Lord has called us to do with a positive attitude. We reject the things that the Lord has called us to do, and we go ahead and do our own thing. Let me tell you something. When you reject what the Lord has called you to do, you miss out on your blessings that God wants to give you. When you reject doing what the Lord has called you to do for the kingdom, you are missing out on your own spiritual growth. Don't reject the voice of God. Don't deviate from what God has called you to do. Because when we deviate from what God has called us to do for the kingdom, then we're letting the devil, we're giving the devil the power that God has given us to do what we have to do for the kingdom of heaven. Our job here on this earth as ambassadors for Christ is to let our lights shine so that the Father in heaven will be glorified. Our jobs on this earth isn't to reject the voice of God. The Bible, if you don't trust the Lord's plan for you, I want you to do something. If you don't understand the Lord's plans that he had for you, I want you to sit down and just close your eyes and just say, Lord, I don't know what plans you have for me. What are your plans for me? What do you want me to do for the kingdom of God? See, it's not what you do for the kingdom of God. Not only is it what you do for the kingdom of God that matters, but it's how you do what God wants you to do for the kingdom of God that matters. I'm going to give you two examples. My Harriet Jackson was a brilliant gospel singer, and she was born in 1910. If she refused to listen to the Lord about what he had called her to do, her music wouldn't be so impactful in the church today. Martin Luther King Jr. was born on January 15th, 1929, in Atlanta, Georgia. If he had done the work that he was called to do by God with a positive attitude back in the 1930s and 40s and beyond, his work wouldn't be so impactful in the world today. Saints, I'll go ahead and say this. If we, the church, would start doing what the Lord has called us to do with a positive attitude, then when we are called to heaven, we will have left a positive legacy here on earth for the next generation to live by. You know, it saddens me when I see people on Facebook. It saddens me when I hear people on the news talking about, I don't know what to do with my life. But it really saddens me when I hear people say, I don't know what to do with my life, but I want God to bless my life. Have you ever asked God what his plans are for your life? If you don't ask God what his plans are for your life, you will never know what God has planned for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, plans to give you hope and peace, plans not to harm you, but to help you." The reason why we don't know what God has planned for us is because we refuse to follow the direction of God with a positive attitude. We have to be thankful for where God has us going, because where God has us going is way better than where we used to be. The way God has us going is lighter than where we used to be. The way God has us, the path that God has us on is way wider than the path that we used to be on. So what is he saying to you? What is he saying to us? Follow the directions of God with a positive attitude. I'll end with this. It was January 26, 2015, the day that my mother went home to be with the Lord. A few hours after she went home to be with the Lord, I was laying in the bed, and the Lord told me, "I want you to write a book." And I said, "Lord, I can't write a book right now. I'm grieving." He said, "I know you're grieving." He said, "But you don't have to write the book right now. But in a few months, I want you to write a book about your life." And I said, "But Lord, I'm only 34 years old." He said, "But look at what you've been through in the last 34 years. He said, "I want you to inspire others with your story." And I kept telling the Lord, "Lord, I can't do it right now. I am going through a lot." And he said, "Son, I know what you're going through. I was in the fire with you. Do you know in June of 2022, I started writing my book. And that's because and the Lord is the reason why I'm writing the book. And I'm writing the book because I began to follow the directions. I began to follow the directions of God with a positive attitude. And not only did I follow the directions of God with a positive attitude, I let him lead me down the path that he wants to take me with this book. So if you're having trouble if you're having trouble knowing what God has planned for you, follow his directions with a positive attitude and watch your life change. If you're uncomfortable doing it, if you're uncomfortable doing what the Lord has called you to do, remember Hebrews chapter 11, 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What am I saying to you? It's time to follow the directions of God with a different attitude. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your amazing word that you have given me, that you have preached to your people through me. Father, as I said earlier, it's all of you and none of me. Father, let this word that you have preached through me be a blessing to someone, whether they're happy, whether they're sad, whether they're hurting, or whether they're not hurting. We want spiritual growth, and we ask that you have your way in us. We will stop refusing to follow your directions with a negative attitude. We will stop refusing your will. We will let you take our will and line it up with yours. Father, you are a blessing, Father. Without you, we cannot do anything that you've called us to do. Father, let this word marinate in the people's hearts. Thank you for the reminder that you have given us today. And it's in the power of the name of Jesus that I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, 2 weeks in a row. What an amazing thing. You know, Pastor has ingrained in us at Run for Christ Ministries Luke 6:46. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That is just like parents of children who are called mom and who are called dad, but yet when it's time for you to be corrected or told what to do or given instruction, you don't do what I tell you to do. Well, we already know how that goes. There are consequences when our parents tell us to do something and we don't want to do it. We call them mom and dad. They call us mom and dad. And then when you're talking about attitude, you know, attitude comes into play. I'm asking you to do something, even though you call me mom, you call me dad, you don't do what I say. And then when you do do what I say, you're doing it with a negative attitude. Now, I personally don't have that problem with my child, but I know there are people out there. I'm just making a point. You know, we are God's children, and we have the responsibility to do what our Father asks us to do, and not with an attitude, not with our eyes rolled, not with grumbling and mumbling, but with positivity, because we need to be doing what he's telling us to do, because he's the only one who knows what's right. We're down here, like Pastor Jonathan Tate tells us all the time, we're self-destructive. All of the thoughts that we have and all of the things that we do are in some way, shape, or form for us, even though we try to mold them and conform them into making it seem as though we're doing something for the Lord, when reality is, you know, we're just trying to get the Lord to conform to our ways. Well, you can't have that. We have a responsibility to not only do what our Father tells us to do, but to do it with a good attitude, because he knows the plans that he has for us. And we have to have faith that he is going to continue to work on us until he calls us home. Are we ever going to be perfect? No, but we don't have to be, because Jesus died for all of our sins. So as long as you give it your best effort on a daily basis, and we'll start to flow. So Pastor Terrence Tate, thank you for doing 2 weeks in a row with a word that you've held on to that the Lord gave you 2 months ago. We appreciate you coming back on for another Saturday to bring us a reminder word that we are to do all things to the glory of the Lord. Amen. So thank you so much for bringing us that word today. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is the second Saturday of July. Just a couple of announcements for you. Tomorrow, Sunday, July the 10th, we will have our in-person Sunday school beginning at 9 a.m. Our worship service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and in worship. We will have the preached word by our very own Pastor O. Of course, you are welcome to join us in person. All we ask is that you wear a mask. Excuse me, if you don't have one, no worries. We will provide you with one. If you're not able to be in person or you're not comfortable still with being in person, you can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website, rfcm.org, and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Amen? Amen. Also, I haven't been mentioning it, but Pastor did mention it today. His brother, Reverend Richard Overall, has his Blog Talk show for an hour every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Amen. So if you're not listening, I know he puts things out on YouTube as well. I think he's doing like a multi, one-stop shop type of thing where he's, you know, playing it out on Blog Talk Radio as he's saying it, but then it's also recorded and he's recording himself and putting it out, videos out on YouTube as well of what he's talking about on Tuesdays. So if you're not tuning in, please do. If you can't tune in, like Pastor said, you know, you can always go backwards and listen to it. Very, very, very good stuff. Amen. Also, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Fiberm is here on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. Don't forget to tune in and give her your support on that. Also, every Wednesday, excuse me, y'all, at 6 p.m., we hold our, excuse me, I've been fine all morning. Time for me to do my announcements. Here comes this call. Excuse me. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. Deacon Charles Mackey will be teaching from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 7 through 12. Questions are available online at our church website, rfcm.org. Click on the Bible classes tab, or if you're in person, they will be on the back table on Sunday morning. You already know what's up with the back table, all good stuff, free stuff, informative stuff, Beth Cable is where it's at, okay? So make sure to check that on your way in or out. But obviously the early bird gets the worm, so if you get in there and you're, you know, get the first, get in there, get your stuff off the table first. Don't wait till the end of service. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies' Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information, go to rfcm.org. Again, click on our Christian Resources tab, and you'll get the information to be able to participate in that. And Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for the ladies' Bible class. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. Click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Terrence Tate, who brought you that word today, go to the church website. Remember to specify Pastor Terrence Tate on when you give your love offering, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with him. Amen. Amen. Just want to remind you guys, too, everything that we do here on Blog Talk Radio, whether it's a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever, it's all recorded, it's all archived, and it's all free. So if you're just getting saved today and you don't really know what to do, where to go, go to our Blog Talk Radio page. You can get your whole Christian life together all the way back to August of 2009, before all of us started getting integrated into Blog Talk Radio. You know, Pastor was doing this thing by himself, 2 hours a day, every single day for years, okay? What the Bible says is what he was doing. He was going book by book, line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and he's done it more than once, more than twice. Amen. So don't let your Christian life go to waste. Go to our Blog Talk Radio page on our church website, rfcm.org. Get your whole Christian life together, and you can do it for free. Amen? Amen. So pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, and most importantly, unsaved, because this is what this is really all about. You know, at the end of the day, either you got Jesus or you don't. If you got Jesus, when your time here is over with, you'll be with him for an eternity. If you don't have Jesus, you're going to be somewhere else for an eternity. But at the end of the day, we're all the same. It comes down to if you got Jesus or if you don't. Amen. So it's really important for us to pray for those who are unsaved, who are confused, who are spiritually lost. You know, this world has its way of shoving all types of things into your face to make you conform to what it wants you to be. But we have to learn how to shut all of those things out and make sure that we are serving the one true living God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's it. Ain't no multiple ways, no multiple gods, no all this other stuff. It is Jesus. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. So we know eternal life hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit without accepting Jesus, having gone to the cross on our behalf. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your immediate household today, Judea, your immediate community today, Samaria, outside of your community and outside of your comfort zone, to people and places where you would normally go and associate with today, and to the ends of the earth. And those are people and places that you would never be around and never go to. Well, you know,
y'all Sunday,
the word of God as well. And it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Pastor, I think your mic is open. There we go. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says, "The hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. But we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment. We know that this life here on earth is short, and God is not bound by time, but we are." Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. So we know that I is Jesus, and we know that he has gone away to prepare a place for us. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when your time is up, whether it's a personal rapture or the rapture of the church itself, you will be going to be with Jesus where he is. Amen? Amen. So we want to ask that you continue to pray for Mother Irma Miller, who is recovering at home. She was back in the hospital again, but praise God, she's at home. Amen. Pastor John McFall, last week, I said that he was in the hospital, but Kat texted me and said that he is in rehab at Rivergate Healthcare, so please keep him in prayer. Also, Tyrone Hamilton, continue to pray for all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please make sure to just really keep our mothers and the rest of our members lifted up in prayers. Amen. Pray for all of those who are bereaved and grieving. We know that there is some type of bereavement and grief going on all over this world. Pastor preached his prayer today, and it was so powerful because it puts words to sometimes the words that we don't have to express about the things and the desires that we want to pray for as far as what's going on in this world. You know, we do have to pray for people besides ourselves. It's not bad to pray for yourself, but we do, as a church, as a body of Christ, have a responsibility to pray for everything and everybody around us. And so it is very hard to know what to pray for when things are going on in other countries and across the world, and it just seems so overwhelming, and it just seems like it's just so much. And Pastor did a really, really, really awesome job today of putting words to, I know me personally, my thoughts as far as, Lord, what do we say to you when all these things continue to happen and it just seems like nobody's listening, nobody, you know, cares, nobody wants to fix it. The people in power and position don't want to do anything. Their priorities are off. And so the prayer that was prayed today was not only powerful, and Pastor brought it with such force, but it just put words to a lot of what we all are probably feeling about what we're seeing and experiencing and dealing with in this world. And so we have grief, and we're sad about all of the things that we see going on across the world, big and small. You know, so we just don't want to forget that there are people who are bereaved and grieving all over the world on a daily basis. And so we want to ask special prayers for all of the bereaved and grieving families everywhere, but especially our own Deaconess Lisa Thornton and the loss of her dad, Mr. Fred Owen Frierson. His arrangements are for today, Saturday, July 9th. The family hour was between 9 and 10 a.m., and then his homegoing service did begin at 10 a.m. at International Gospel Center on Saliette in Ecorse, Michigan. So we are asking that you please keep her and her family in your prayers. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all. So on a lighter note, it's a new month. We're the second week of July, and so happy birthday. Amen. To all the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating today, we got a bunch of birthdays in July. The Sarah Tate McClendon set us off with her birthday on the 1st. Her baby Hunter, who was literally her twin, celebrated her birthday on the 4th. Malachi Freeman on the 8th, which I think was yesterday. Yours truly, that would be me, am celebrating on the 12th. Logan is on the 12th. DeAndre is on the 14th. Baby Isaiah is on the 14th. Vice President Beatrice Cowan on the 16th. Ryan Davis on the 16th. Nicole Seabrooks on the 19th. And Deaconess Lisa Thornton on the 21st. All right? So happy, happy birthday. Love, hugs, and kisses to everyone everywhere celebrating their birthday this month. Amen? Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, and it is entitled, Check Your Spiritual Radar, and this is by Mary Sutherland. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. This is Psalm chapter 34, verse 13. I recently received an email from a friend who told me the story of a private school in Washington that, faced an unusual problem. Some of the 12-year-old girls were beginning to use lipstick and would gather around the mirrors in the bathroom to compare shades. The girls thought it was cute to press their lips to the bathroom mirrors, leaving dozens of lip prints. The maintenance man did not think it was cute because he has to clean the mirrors, and you know how icky lipstick on a mirror can be. Every night, the maintenance man would remove the lipstick prints, only to find that the girls put them back the next day. The principal finally decided that something had to be done. She called all the girls to the bathroom and met them there, the maintenance man. She explained that all the lip prints were causing a major problem for the custodian who had to clean the mirrors. The principal then asked the maintenance man to demonstrate what he had to do to remove the lipstick and how much effort was required. A stunned silence fell across the bathroom as the weary maintenance man took out a long-handled squeegee, dipped it in the toilet, and cleaned the mirror. There has not been a single lip print left on the mirror since that day. We read that story and think it is both funny and repulsive, yet the words we speak often carry the same kind of filth. We need to be speaking life, not death, into other people. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? But when we criticize and put others down, when we gossip about others, we are speaking destruction into their lives. Unless strained through discipline and holiness, words can impart false perspectives and untruth. But the right word, spoken at the right time and in the right way, can bring order in the midst of confusion, light on a very dark path, and wisdom where there is foolishness. I believe God gives us spiritual radar so we can assess a situation and speak the right word for that circumstance. In fact, Paul writes, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. And that's Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Solomon also offers great wisdom concerning the use of words. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. And that's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. If we do not learn to use and control our tongue, it will use and control us. We need to choose our words carefully. Psalm chapter 34, verse 13, again, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. The word keep indicates an action on our part. We decide. We choose what is allowed to take up room in our mind. It is literally the idea of a guard standing at the gate of the city, stationed there to keep watch. He is there by invitation only. If we want to live right and speak right, we must think right, constantly guarding our mind. And that is not all. We must guard our heart as well. Godly responses come from the heart. If there is something wrong with our words, then there is something wrong with our heart. The truth of Proverbs chapter 16, 23 is profound in its simplicity. A wise man's heart guides his mouth. Words are powerful. Words can destroy or build. We need to make the choice today to respond in the right way to angry or hurtful words that are surely headed our way tomorrow. We need to set our hearts and minds on speaking words of life every time we have the opportunity to do so. So as we say this prayer together, Father, we want to please you by encouraging others with the words we speak. Clean our hearts and transform our minds and fill our mouths with the words that honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those are your announcements. Be positive in not only what you say, but what you do. Amen? Amen. Pass off.
Amen.
Praise God.
Positive.
Amen.
Positive. Erica got a new song out called Positive.
Oh.
Amen. You know, I love one of that. At the beginning of the song, I know who I am and I know who I'm not. Amen. That's
right.
That's amen. That's some awesome stuff. Wow, Crystal, I just fell on the floor, right? Because Jesus said, I bet he found out real quick who kissed that mirror when they heard out.
Okay.
When they heard that it's clean with toilet water in a public toilet.
ain't that
you owe me a kiss,
Lord,
man, every
Jesus.
Day.
Okay.
Jokes on
trying
you,
to be
right?
Trying to be
Lord
cute.
Lord have mercy. I bet all of them start wiping their lips. You found out real quick who did it because they start wiping and spitting.
Quick.
You been kissing toilet water window. Amen. That's some good stuff right there.
See, I'm Whew. Telling you. Make you think twice before you do something crazy.
That was a good one.
Just the thought of that. Yeah, get the life
yes,
right.
Yes,
okay,
indeed.
You never know.
You never know.
Oh,
I tell you, put
you
your
know.
Lips. You're putting your
okay.
lips on toilet water.
Okay.
Ooh,
but when
nasty.
You put your mouth on people, when you're speaking on people, it's the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just
toilet
you know,
water.
When you did an 8-part series in the Book of James, and, you know, when you put me in, you spoke very emphatically
yes.
about, you know, Christians putting their mouths on other Christians and that tongue and
Georgia.
You saying what you say and you being damaging and Lord have mercy. Okay. So watch
water.
Where you put your mouth. Yes. Okay. You never know what's up. Keep your mouth.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank
oh,
you,
my.
Crystal.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Appreciate
welcome.
You. Tell me and we say what's up.
I know why he's living his life in Florida. I can't even take it. It's too much. Amen.
Here's a traveler. That boy getting around.
Okay.
I get around.
Ain't he? Tony, I'm trying to get to the gas station. This don't make no sense. You just going to have a talk.
He all the way here in Spain, Florida. Globetrotter.
Okay. Look, and it was funny because I said earlier when Pastor Tate, I said, dang, Pastor Tate preaching again today, 2 weeks in a row. I said, I need him to get from over Jesus' house. Every time he go to Jesus' house, he 2 weeks in a row, he need to get from stop going to visit Jesus, because every time you go visit Jesus, he gonna have a word for you to preach.
Yeah, every time.
Lord have mercy. But it was awesome. 2 weeks in a row, we appreciate him. We appreciate him.
Yes, indeed. Amen. He's a ready able. You know, he's agreed to stand in for the preachers when they can't. So he'll be
yeah.
coming back again next month on the second and third Saturday. Yeah.
All right.
So
we're
looking
forward,
to
it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Amen.
He's the fill-in, the stand-in-the-gap preacher.
Well, he's so full that we ready. Okay, we ready. We ready. Amen.
All right, Crystal. Be blessed.
Amen. You too.
Amen. We've had a wonderful time today. I know I have. And I'm praying to God that you did too. You know, Pastor Terrence Tate brought us a powerful word. If you read the rest of those verses, you see the outcomes of both who listen and those who don't. In the rest of those verses, Jesus said, I'll show you who can call me Lord, Lord. And he described a person who digs down deep and finds a rock and then builds his house on it. In other words, your Christian life is built on God's word, based on God's word. So when the storms of life come, and they will, just because you're standing with Jesus, don't mean the storms of life won't come, as Peter. Okay, Jesus was right there, Peter walking by the power of the word, storms came. Okay, but Jesus said, when the storms come and beat against your house, after it's all said and done, you'll be still standing. Why? Because you do what the Lord say. Your life is based on his word. Then he described the kind of Christian whose life is not based on his word. He said they build a house too. Okay, but they didn't found it on the rock. They didn't found it. It's not founded on the word of God. Their personal, their family, their church, and civic life is not based on the word of God, although they are saved. Okay, and he said the storm came, just like it did to the people who do what he says. The difference is their house fell. Why? Because it had no power against Satan. Satan came like that wolf and blew it right down. When you build your house out of brick, you're building it out of the Lord's word. And when Satan comes, and he's coming to blow, but he'll just huff and puff, but he can't blow your house down because it's founded on the rock. So don't forget what Pastor Terrence Tate preached to us. And here's what's most important. Do it with a good attitude. The Lord knows if you got a funky attitude about doing what he asked you to do. And you're going to halfway do it. And that, you won't get no, you know, like the boy who Jesus gave one gift and said, occupy, do business till I return. Came back, ain't did nothing. Okay? So you don't want to be that person. Amen? So thank you, Pastor Terrence Tate, for that word. God bless you. God keep you. Have the rest of this day as a day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And don't forget, whatever you do, that no matter what happens, no matter what comes up, the Lord is with you.
Times are hard, I can always